everyone. We're going to call this meeting to order. This meeting is being held in compliance with the Open Public Meeting Law in that the requirements of the law have been met with the posting of the meeting notice on the municipal bulletin board filed with the borough clerk and forwarded to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. At this time, I'd like to ask everybody to rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mayor Moore.
Here.
Council President Gomez.
Here.
Councilman Petty.
Here.
Councilman Piattelli.
Here.
Councilman Longo.
Here.
Councilwoman Dershowitz.
Here.
Councilman Lopez.
Here.
Full house. Okay, at this time, I'd like to move to the approval of the minutes for the October 10th, 2023 regular meeting. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Councilman Gomez.
Stay.
Councilman Petty.
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli.
Yes.
Councilman Longo.
Yes.
Councilwoman Dershowitz.
Yes.
Councilman Lopez.
Yes.
Very good. On to the 2023 Municipal Best Practices Inventory. We have a brief presentation on that.
No presentations about how to say for at least the 6 year in a row we have all of our points. Sorry for
the okay. Yeah, I reviewed the report, looks like it's pretty thorough. Lots of questions, time consuming, and
very even more money as they do this thing now where they have more questions, not scored.
But you have to answer.
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. On to request any members of the public for comments and invitations for discussion at this time. What I'd like to do is, if you have a comment, come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and to record for the meeting recording.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for the job you do. My mom, I call you the representation of my mom.
Name and address.
Yes, it's Evita Freire, 510 East 2nd Street. Yeah, so I want to commend all the ordinances you are putting into place. This is for the good of everybody, mostly for the taxpayers. You put in use what we give to the borough. So it's just a comment that I hope you can put into place or fix it next time that you rewrite an ordinance. About 2 months ago, we were given a big garbage can of 95 gallons, and my mother is a senior. So she is probably as high as the can. So it's been very hard for her to move it. For many, many years, she's been just really consuming a ShopRite bag of garbage, no more than that. So I think that's less than a gallon or probably 2 gallons, I'm not sure. I understand this was already, surveyed or discussed with all the residents or go through every kind of property. So it's not our intention that you go again to survey all the population, but at least that you consider the seniors to put into the budget to buy like probably 50 cans of, 25 gallons, 50 gallons. So it's feasible. So it's more practical for this population to really put in use what they already pay. So we were told also that we cannot go and shop around for another company because as a resident, we are supposed to use your collection services. So since we are already paying, at least we can use it in a better way that serves this population. Another thing to consider is that it's not just the age or the way how they are, but also they can have some kind of impairment, as is the case of my mother. Also, the property itself doesn't have any kind of like way for us to even take it inside of the property. The property is enclosed. So in order for us to bring it empty as it is, to the back of the property, we have to go through the neighbor's properties. And the neighbors have grills, they have chairs, so it's not for us to go move their furniture, pull this can that is almost empty. As I said to you, it only has like a ShopRite bag.
We just introduced a new ordinance that we're going to be getting smaller cans.
Fantastic.
To swap out for residents upon request.
Exactly. And that's
in place, that's in motion now. I don't know what the timeline would be to get those cans, but you're definitely not the first one to raise this concern, and we're hoping that that will alleviate the burden. I've gone on record. I mean, I love the big cans. We generate more garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that I'll have a couple more years left before they get too big for me. But generally speaking, this is an issue, and we're hoping to address it with. I don't know how much smaller they are, but they'll be, like you said, probably 45 gallons.
Well, fantastic. That's really good to hear.
Reasonable.
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, that's only to consider that population. Yeah, and as you said, upon request, it's perfect for us. Yeah.
And I think the issue, though, too, is that you can't get it to the back of your property, so it's the storage of it that is problematic for you, right? Like, you've even tried bringing it through your living room.
Yeah, it has stairs, and you tried to put it through the living room to bring it to the back deck.
So I don't...
It doesn't even go through the door.
Yeah. So I don't know what the solution is for that, but I think, maybe we can help you, look at that and see if it can't be stored in front. I know you're not supposed to be able to see it from the street, so...
And we have a garden, to be honest.
And you have a garden, too. So, I know properties are tight. They're row housing, right? And there's no driveways. Mm-hmm. And I understand you have to really walk around your property through your neighbor's property to get to the back. And this was a change made. They live diagonal to the citizens. Right, apartment building. So behind you used to be opened, the backyard, and now it's kind of closed in.
Right.
So that kind of changed the dynamic of what their backyard is like and their yard. I don't know. I don't know what we can do as a board, but, maybe we can offer some help for, the storage of the garbage, because your mom can't be hauling this down the block, around the corner, in your backyard, or through your living room. So I don't...
Thank you, Mrs. Vernon.
I don't know, maybe a little fence or something to put it, like a little fence. Please hide it,
I mean, as long as we can use what we pay for, it's okay. But, again, if it's kind of practical, as you said, if it's 45 gallons, I'm not sure what are the dimensions, but at least to consider if we can bring it through the door. Because I think that will be something.
So the regular garbage can that you used to use went through the door?
It used to be like this round can. I mean,
very small. It could be on the porch. They have a front porch, too.
So the replacement won't be able to...
I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure if the actual, the square part of it can really go through a door.
Is there anywhere, eight houses altogether, right? The row houses?
It is four units.
Is there anywhere on the end caps that I could potentially store the cans instead of having them to take the awning, being able to put them in an alley, either to the left or to the right, create a closure. I'm assuming you're not the only one, right? So it may be a solution for the whole group.
Actually, I would say the four units that are to our left, they are also storaging in front of their house. So you can see it, and they don't have any gardening. So all that you see is the garbage can in front of their door.
So not ideal, but I mean, at some point, there's going to have to be some exception made, right? Especially in that situation.
Yeah, I mean, again, it doesn't have to be a 95 gallons. That's the first thing. It has to be.
Yeah, you have to take garbage to your house.
Exactly. Yeah. So you understand the practicality. Yeah, and we've been doing that. So you can picture what we've been trying to do.
So all the way to the left, so if you're looking at the apartments, all the way to the left, do you have a small alley or anything there that gets to, I'm assuming you get to go around to the west or the east of the property.
Yeah, so I was going to explain the dynamics. So the four units that is more towards far from us, they have a driveway. So I don't know how many feet they have before they touch the driveway. I'm not sure. The fire division that we have between the units, because I think it's a fire prevention, it has an alley, but the two neighbors has it as an enclosure. So
they have a fence.
Correct.
That's not a gate.
I think it's a gate. I'm not sure, to be honest, but I think it's the two neighbors and the kids, they play there, so I'm not sure. Then the dynamics of this other side is a driveway. So I really don't, when you see it, there is no way to put garbage cans there because the cars move out and in from that driveway. And then you have the other properties that I said to you. They have grills, they have cars. So it's two different units that have things in the back of their property. So
the front yard has a fence around the whole front. Is that, that's the problem? There's
no, it's a garden. These are
no, it's a garden.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1911. Okay. They are from 1911.
There's an existing fence. Technically, it is fenced in.
Yeah, many things have changed around the properties, to be honest. We had plenty of space before. We have the street. We didn't have even the street that goes to the circle.
Hector, do you want to maybe do like a site visit tomorrow? Maybe post some suggestions or ideas?
Yeah, so she and I actually spoke. Started the conversation to see as far as code enforcement and how we can handle the situation. You know, there were two issues at play. And have smaller codes and then say, well, hey, we usually allow to have X amount and not amount square. So those are kind of the two issues that we have on mind. One would be to see, maybe there's a possibility of, allowing them to come in the front. They are more attractive, codes now.
It sounds like there is an easy solution for everybody there. They have four entrances between all of them, so just carving one of those and asking, somebody to make the enclosure in front of their property so that they can store all four cans and then all the other four cans in front, so that it's only two enclosures and not eight enclosures, and all the garbage cans can live there, but that's, that would have to be an agreement.
And for the time being, maybe we should just sweep the ordinance and say if you can't physically possibly have a backyard, that that there's an exception. Obviously,
people are working in front of the
yeah.
But you don't want to leave it in the front of your house either.
No.
Yeah, because my mother has a garden.
She's a beautiful
garden. Yeah,
thank you for bringing that. It's not so much about just being practical with all your considerations, but it's about living in your house. Mm-hmm. And when you get to your house, you really want it to be your house. And I understand that even having the can in front, it could be some kind of practical for the movement of the seniors. And as you said, it's not just us. I don't think it's just the 8 units that have said that. Probably it's around the town. Mm-hmm. So it's also, I think it's not convenient because we are sitting there with a cat. Probably a raccoon comes. Probably a raccoon is hidden there. So it's not really your home if you have the garbage in front of where you sit. So just to consider that, it's true that they are very humble units. It's true that they are from back in the 1900s, but we are residents and we love them. We pay the taxes, we keep it clean, and it's our home. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. My name is James Winters. I live at 222 Hamilton Street next to the Borough Hall. Continuing with the trash talk, I wanted to discuss other topics, but a year ago more, I bought a recycling bin with wheels because I can't carry the container. And the borough or the recycling people picked it up for over a year, and then all of a sudden I got a letter saying they can't do it any longer because it doesn't meet their requirements. It has a lid on it. And I believe that the one that I see on the other side of town of Union Avenue all have lids. So I said, well, I'll take the lid off. Will you pick it up then? He said, no, it doesn't conform. It doesn't conform. So then I said, well, what can I do? Because I can't physically carry the length of the property. So the supervisor suggested that they would send a small truck and they would come down the driveway and pick it up for me, which hasn't happened. So I've had to call upon friends and neighbors to help bring it out when it's too heavy. I find just that little topic amusing.
Mr. Winch, real quick. You can go to Home Depot, or you can go to Granger over in Seattle. They have a little car.
Yeah.
It's just a couple wheels, and the garbage can sits right on top of it. So you're.
I did that for years. But what I really got perturbed over was the fact that half the town had the required receptacle, and the other half was not going to get it.
I think we're still getting them, but they're working towards them. I think the south, some parts of the south side are starting.
Yeah, they just said that it wasn't in the budget.
I know.
No, they can't be used because of the cars on the street and the trees and the tight spaces. Like, by me, I'm never going to get those recycled. Sure. Okay. Yeah, because they'll have to do the rear loading. They can't do the arm, which they have now.
So it's really not an issue as far as
For the garbage.
Yeah, we made it. You know, we made it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the whole of our operation.
As to street cleaning, you hear the truck in the morning on Monday at around 6 o'clock. And if you observe the truck cleaning the streets, it's cleaning the middle of the street. It's not cleaning the gutter because there are cars parked. So it's ineffectual. And I wonder why a town like Hoboken has a sign that says on Thursday between 2 and 4, no parking because there's street cleaning. So if you're going to have people paid to do that service, why are they prevented from doing that service?
That's actually coming. Starting this week, we're going to have all new signage, all new graphs. So we're going to have that all squared away.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Starting so next week?
Next season.
Next season?
Yeah, in the spring. Because right now we're just about done for the winter with the leaves.
Yeah.
So what they do is sometimes they come down and deal with the street because they'll still keep the new main street as long as they can. But you're right, there's a lot of them where just the car on the side of the gate, you just can't get through it. You know, you'll see them, you can get in and out trying to get it.
So there's going to be signage that says no parking?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there'll be signage and then the police will be able to.
That would make sense.
And
okay.
The council will be told the people who got tickets mad at us.
Yeah.
I got a ticket at Hoboken, that's why I know. I saw in Somerville, I was born in Somerville 77 years ago, and I've seen a lot of things change in Somerville. But one thing recently, there was an accident at our corner here between where the library is and my home. Every other month for decades, until four-way stop signs were installed, which are not obeyed in total. I can observe that personally. So there's a lot of speeding in this town. At 25 miles an hour in Somerville, max speed limit for the borough, why would Bound Brook allow 40 and 50 mile an hour cars racing down Mountain Avenue or possibly even on Hamilton? I respect the officers in this town. I have a lot of them as patients. And I know their work is not easy. I support the police 110%. But I've been told that by an officer that they're understaffed, that they don't have enough of the speed enforcement equipment, It's a matter of quality of life and safety, which I'll get to another topic in a minute. And I think that something has to be done to reel in the speeding, because it's going to hurt people.
Now, this has been discussed at several meetings, and to address the concern of the understaffed the police force, they had they just had six officers who were on long-term terminal leave, is what it was called, that officially retired, that we will now be able to fill those positions with in-the-field officers, which, you know, will be allowed. And the chief has mentioned in the past, once they are up with the six new officers in that full capacity, they will definitely be able to allocate resources to reducing speeding, for monitoring and enforcement. And we are also in the process, I believe they've gotten some speed, some of the equipment that you're alluding to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been, we've been focusing an effort and budgetary needs on that. If anybody can clarify, I'm talking in
that way. Well, I guess I have a question more than anything else, maybe for the attorney or maybe for the chief. You mentioned Mountain Avenue, and you're right, the speed limit's probably a little bit high.
But
it's a county road. How much jurisdiction do we have on state and county roads with speed limits? I don't know.
Union Avenue and Mountain Avenue they're not even Boston. Those are the only 235. We don't have a 45.
But he's right. Some of those 25, most of the roads. But again, this is either a chief or an attorney question. I don't really know the answer. But what kind of control do we have?
So, you would have to consult with Somerset County in order to reduce the speed limits on their road, because ultimately that would be their purview. As far as lack of equipment for speed enforcement, every marked patrol vehicle on the Belmont Police Department is equipped with a radar unit. So that's just, in fact, not true. The comments about lack of staffing are true. There should be four new officers joining the field training program within the next 4 weeks. And if you go to the Belmont Police Department's webpage on the Borough of Belmont website, you will see numerous speeding surveys we've done all over town with covert equipment that say, and I'm not condoning speeding even for one mark, but the statistics will tell us that the number of speeders is very, very low. And again, with the limited manpower we have to put our resources somewhere else. I'm not saying there's not speeders. I'm not saying one mark isn't dangerous. It is, and we do the best we can, but go to the website. You'll see over a dozen surveys that we've done.
Would a uniform minimum maximum speed limit be easier to patrol and control?
Certainly, it could potentially slow down those roads combined with enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But as we said, I think we're referring to the state highway and Mountain Avenue,
County Road.
Those are the only two, I think, that have speed limit above. Well, I think Thomas Avenue has a 30 mile an hour speed limit once you get to the west end of it. So
the reality of it is that if everybody was abiding by those speed limits as well, it wouldn't be as noticeable. I mean, 35, people come down the mountain and off of 42.
There's a speed survey on the website for Mountain Avenue north of 28, which again bared out that it's relatively low.
Yes.
I'll precursor that a little bit too, because the equipment doesn't say if you're at 26 miles an hour, we're going to give you a ticket. You wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want that. It sets a tolerance of about 7 miles an hour. We can set that tolerance anywhere we want, but the reality is, sometimes you drift downhill and get 7 miles an hour. So that's the information.
Thank you for the information. Well, just as a casual observer, a walker, because I have a pet, I can tell when a car is going above the speed limit, and it happens too often. The other topic that I wanted to mention, I know there's a rule about excessive idling. I know there are limits as to how long a car can be idle, whether it's a diesel, a truck, or a car. But in recent days and months, I've been assaulted by certain vehicles in this region on this block that idle upwards to 10, 15 minutes at a time. They also have an explosive sound in the engine when it starts, almost like something that belongs at Raceway Park in Englishtown, and not in my backyard. I've confronted the police department, discussed it, and the solution temporarily is to notify them when this occurs, and then they would come and they would investigate. But by the time they come and investigate the vehicle in question, or vehicles, are gone. Now, if you're asleep and these cars are started up, you are jolted out of your sleep every time. So the assault on me and my wife, actually, too, is daily, if not multiple times a day. So it's an assault to your sensitivity, to your senses, because it's noise aside from idling. And I've spoken to officers from other towns, and they say, well, they would go and they would check the exhaust and they would make sure that this is legal and this is not legal. But to date, nothing has really come of help in this particular thing. And I asked the board, ladies and gentlemen, what could be done or what help there is in this matter. Because I don't believe the vehicle came, or the vehicles came, from a dealership sounding like this. In fact, I have it recorded on my phone multiple times. And when the vehicle leaves the property and goes down the street, it is revved and it is going way above 25 miles an hour, and it backfires. And when it backfires, the sound is like a gunfire. So you can't even be calm. You understand? Something has to be done with you.
Do we have a no idling law in New Jersey?
Yeah, we do.
I mean, whether it makes noise or not, it should be enforced, because it's bad for the environment. It's bad for our breathing. You know what? And again,
one more point: the vehicle doesn't.
We've got more.
The vehicle doesn't have a license plate on the front end. It hasn't had a license plate for years.
Yeah.
And so the casual observer would say this is not right. And yet nothing can be done except if it's directly observable. Which is like a whack-a-mole kind of a problem, because unless you had somebody sitting in their car waiting for the engine to be started, you're going to miss the event. However, anybody living within the block doesn't miss the event. And it happens multiple times.
And I think when one person gets a ticket, it gets around and it'll stop. You know, I think, quite frankly, it's something we probably haven't thought about. I mean, I didn't even know it was illegal. I know it was legal in New York. I don't know if it was illegal in New Jersey. We should just write some tickets and then it'll stop.
Another topic quickly is motorized scooters. Let me just end with motorized scooters, because
I have a question.
I don't want to take up your ears.
No, you're fine. I have a question, though, for the car that's making too much noise. Is that enforceable, Chief? The car that's making the noise, is that an enforceable issue? And what would need to happen?
Excessive noise exhaust is, in fact, enforceable.
Okay.
Idling for a longer period is, in fact, enforceable.
Okay. So the noise is irrelevant.
As far as you're saying, police officers have checked the exhaust of cars. I've never heard of anything to that effect. I know Motor Vehicle Commission checks exhausts to make sure it's EPA compliant, but that is not something we are equipped to do, or I'm not aware of any police department that does anything like that.
Right. But
spoken to me directly by a detective from another town.
I'd be curious to talk to myself, because I've never heard of that.
I'll try.
Because of the laws, if you can't idle, why would you even do that?
The modified cars that are designed to be loud.
They have to.
Well, yes. That's a different offense, but we're talking about idling.
Well, no, he's saying that both are false.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can get them on the idling, then what would you care about?
If I can ask, sir, how many times have you told us this year with complaints of this thing?
Three.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to cross them all, sir, we're responding every time. But when these problems occur, there's in our toolbox to enforce them. And I apologize that you have to endure it,
because
it was a
long time. Well, I'll keep going, but I don't want to pester you.
It's not a pester at all.
No,
I don't want to be assaulted in my own home either.
Yes.
And I don't seem to have a solution for it.
Yeah. So we're here to help you.
Call us and come to our job. You don't have to give your name
involved.
Mm-hmm. What about motorized scooters?
Motorized scooters. Which, if you're doing the speed limit, say, on Mountain Avenue, can almost keep up with you. But they're riding on the sidewalk. They go between the street and the sidewalk so they don't have to slow down or stop. So they actually can get to their destination faster than a car sometimes, avoiding traffic and lights. But the problem is having something that can move that quickly on a sidewalk for someone who's either elderly or infirm, or perhaps holding a child's hand. And if someone is moving that quickly in a vehicle, it's got two wheels, there's possibility of somebody being hurt. And I don't understand why that isn't being attended to. Because it's happening a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like it's these scooters and the electric bikes. I mean, they move as fast as mopeds were when I was around that age.
Yeah.
And I know those were regulated.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, yeah, it is. I see the kids zooming down on the street, and I've seen where there's no lights, there's no reflectors, and maybe they're wearing a helmet, maybe they're not.
Now I can't believe that an officer of the law hasn't witnessed that. And maybe the gentleman who's spoken already has in the records confrontations with people who aren't doing that on the sidewalk with it. I don't know. I would love to understand if that's being attempted to.
Are allowed to go up driveways and sidewalks? I mean,
no, we had a ton of more bicycles
on
the
sidewalk.
Really?
Mm-hmm. No, I have a bicycle. But it wouldn't seem to make sense that, and if that's the case with a regular bicycle, then absolutely.
Can we ask whether or not that's been attended?
Yes. Have you had issues with some of these electric scooters going up and down, up sidewalks, down sidewalks, navigating? And we enforce it when we can. I'm assuming.
It does happen. Yeah, it doesn't.
So how do you enforce it? What ordinance do you use, a state law?
When an officer observes it, they have the options from giving a warning to giving a summons.
Do you have the data concerning how many summonses there have been issued to people who have ridden electric bikes on the sidewalk?
I don't have that right now.
Could I ask you to get that up? I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Thank you. Okay, that's about it for me. I appreciate your time.
I think we can also raise some of these issues with the code officials, right? Like the bites on the sidewalks. If you see it, say something, right? So, it's just raising the point, right? You know, I mean, sometimes you see graffiti on a wall, you become immune to it, right? It's part of the environment, and you don't say anything about it, and then you have more graffiti or litter or the broken window syndrome, right, or whatever that syndrome's called, you know? So you become conditioned that these are normal and natural things when they're not, and it is an attack, you know, and a quality of life issue. So thank you for bringing them up.
The truth is we can inform doing streets, we can start looking for the opportunity for bike lanes which we have none in any of the town. Second is a perfect example. Along the southern part of that street, there's no parking, basically from Maiden all the way up to Fairview. So there's an opportunity for something there, but it narrows the street.
As you know, we are in the midst of doing the circulation on the master plan. That is one of the issues that we have brought up. Hopefully, as the approval of this report, we'll have some recommendation on where we could put bike lanes. And then obviously, we have approached it and they will,
I think years ago, not that many years ago, we did a resolution for complete streets, and I think the intention was to actually do it. So I think that. Sorry about that.
Maple Ave is also on the north path, great street to narrow and put a bike lane from end to end.
Any other members of the public like to come up?
We're waiting.
Hi, I'm Joan Vanderhayden, 605 Thomas Place. I have some information about sustainable Jersey. I'd like to pass them out if that's okay.
I think I meant to call you back today.
What'd you say?
I meant to call you back today.
Okay.
We are already.
Right. I don't have enough. So Sustainable Jersey is a free certification program for municipalities that want to go green, save money, and take steps to sustain their quality of life over the long term. And with climate change and pollution, municipalities want to be part of the solution to these challenges. So this is a free program. You just need to register and adopt a resolution. If you look at the third page, there's a sample resolution. So it's all written out for you already. And that's how you get started, by putting in a resolution. And then if you turn to the fourth page, you can have a bronze medal or a silver medal. The bronze is mandatory. You have to have a green team. And then you have to have 2 out of 13 priority actions. And all the actions that are in bold print, there's like 2 under diversity and 2 under energy. There's 1 under local economies. They're in bold. So you have to have, there's 13 of them. You have to do 2 of them.
We are a sustainable Jersey community. We have a green team. We've actually completed the 13 steps.
Oh, that's my, it was my question years. To you. Yeah, when you get back to me.
I meant to call you all day long. I've been tied up. We are a sustainable Jersey community. We've gotten multiple grants from them over the years. We've actually done all the windows here, new lighting for power efficiency. We've gotten new solar panels on all our buildings.
Okay.
So we are well on our way to doing this.
Okay.
And if you're interested in joining the green team, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, I did want to join. I knew there was a green team a few years ago, and I tried to join it, but they never got back to me.
I think they haven't met in a while, but they can always use some renewed energy.
Yes, I would like to join that.
And you can reach out to Hector, and Hector can absolutely help you with
to who?
Getting your name on the list.
Okay.
Jasmine, is this the program that we participated in a couple years ago and filled out the forms online? And okay. Yeah, okay. It was pretty elaborate, the program.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm glad that all went through, and we're still certified.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the second thing, when I'm driving out of Crescent Avenue making a left, there's a bunch of, when the cars are parked along there, there's a terrible blind spot. And it's sort of like driving out with my eyes closed, hoping that there's no cars coming. So I was wondering, I had written a letter to somebody on the council and nothing was done. I think they did lower the miles per hour to 25. But you still, when you're driving out, it's like closing your eyes and just hoping a car doesn't come and hit you. And it's because the cars that are parked along the road create that blind spot. So I was wondering if you could look into that as well. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Paul Strong, 135 West Maple Avenue. I just wanted to piggyback off of what you were saying before with the bike lane. You had said, I think, West Maple.
Possibly. There's not anything in cement. You
know, I don't know how you could
literally
even,
a comment in the air.
No, but I'm saying I don't even know how you could even
explain that. No bike lanes.
Well, no, because, I mean, the school is right there, like where the teacher's going
to park. It's a great place to put a bike lane.
Yeah, you know, so I just, that's it.
No. Actually, there's a whole, honestly, there's a whole routes to school, which is second up through the school, right to Maple, to the high school, to Smalley, so all that area can definitely use bike lanes, but it's wide enough to shorten it and bike lanes on both on one side. I think it's good.
Yeah. Right now, on social media, on our website, there is a survey for the community, for citizens, and for surveys in English and Spanish. So I hope that hopefully you guys will just put it in the book. Don't just look at it.
No, I filled it out. Yeah, no, I filled it out. I went through all that and completed it all.
So, folks who work in the community audience, you can say this.
It's a great opportunity for procrastinating and what I do for work. Okay, anybody else from the public like to comment at this time? Looking at the agenda, I see we have committee reports, several ordinances, several resolutions, all the way to the new business involving the Environment Library. I was hoping we could get a motion to move that discussion up into the agenda.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Get that out of the way.
Sure. I'll make a motion to move the library section up.
All right. Then I'm going to let's move this ahead. Let's bump this up so that we can address that. There's great parking ordinances here that we'd like to spend some time with us. That's not your report, but I don't think that's what you're here for. So, we're going to skip to the Baumark Library Agreement. As many of you already know, we have had a situation in the library where it is currently closed indefinitely due to some asbestos, and that we are in the process of locating a temporary space to get the cleanup. It's a vital program, vital operation for our town. Last several days I've driven down for things here and down through the town. There are people out there, there's people from the county library system sitting outside of the table. I don't know what they had. I mean, I didn't eat a donut, I didn't stop. I didn't wave. But it's something that we need to address, and I don't know what the process of what we're going to do here. If they're, Petra, are they going to discuss it? I know we have a separate packet here. How do we handle this?
So, there's an agreement that's been presented. You all can discuss it and decide if the what really is for your, that what you really have to consider is if there's a financial component that impacts the borough as opposed to the library.
Correct.
So, it would be moving the library services to a local church. Borough would provide the custodial services that they currently provide to the building. They'll provide those same services to the church. As it is told, it's likely going to be at a cost savings, so it's a smaller space. You're going to be paying, what's in the agreement is that you would pay $6,000 for a 90-day period of time, and that could be renewed for a second 90-day period for another $6,000 payment. And the rest is really on the library. I think those are the two main things that the borough would be assuming.
Paul, the rent The ongoing maintenance, and then I believe utilities.
No, the rent is the utilities.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Well, that's how they phrased it.
Okay.
I don't know that utilities really cost $6,000 for 90 days, but it's not rent. It's $6,000 to offset their utility costs, if you look at paragraph 3.1.
Got it.
So it's for you all to discuss. If you want to, if you're okay with it, then you will say yes and move forward. If you want to ask questions, I think there are people here that can answer those questions. We can ask people to come so your question could be answered.
So,
did I leave anything out, Hector?
So I think, if I could just start off, so I'm the liaison to the library board for the council. We have an agreement right before us, but we also have a negotiation committee that we formed at the council, and that is Don Longo, Kendall Lopez, and myself. So I think I can speak for myself. I think I'm in agreement with the interim move to the Methodist Church, but would like to bring this agreement back to the negotiating committee and just look at the numbers there and look at our budget so that we can just follow our process and just do our due diligence on the numbers. And we will expedite that. So maybe once we hear from the board, you know, when once we hear from the library folks, when you wanted all this to take place, but we can certainly expedite yesterday. Okay. So we can certainly expedite a committee meeting, have that discussion, and with our administrator as well, crunch the numbers and see where we're at with what the proposal is proposing. And
so
then,
in terms of time,
yeah,
the agreement says that the agreement would take effect on October 30th. I don't know that that's reasonable.
Okay.
What you need to do in your due diligence.
Yeah, and I'm
if
fine.
If not, that is very much something we could just, you could say, we could just change that.
I mean, I'm happy to meet after this meeting.
I mean, I was going to say, this is not a renewal of the extended 5 or 10 year agreement.
No.
This is a short term, very, very temporary, hopefully, resolution to an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, did anybody look at some of the numbers that, I mean, there's only one number here, really.
$6,000.
Yeah, $6,000. Yeah, that's the only
number. So, why don't you do this? And again, I don't believe that utilities are going to cost that much, $2,000. You guys want to do $800 for 30 days, and then this way it gives you, first, it gives you some metrics, at least for the first 30 days, and it gives them the ability to move forward with leasing.
I mean, the payment is going directly to the Methodist Church, or is it going to you all? No, it goes to the church. So it's, yeah, so if, right, so that.
Hector. That gives you some time, it gives them some money up front, and if it's short, you know, and it gives you some metrics on actual bills.
So concern may not be the right word, but question I had was, Did you all already agree to this? So that's a problem because
they can't agree on the other.
That's why
yes.
It's a problem. I saw something that the Library Association has already committed to this, assuming the borough is paying it, but the borough never agreed to that.
So they didn't commit to it.
No, they didn't
commit. The Library Commission has authorized. Well, you shook your head. Yes, you did commit. So which is it?
They agreed
that this is the way
for
us
to move forward and provide
library services to the community. They're
in support
of the agreement. If they have not signed the agreement,
okay.
That is pending
your action.
So
okay.
Again,
so
you have
approved
that you have
signed
it.
So nobody's committed.
Okay. So again, I think the Department of Rights offer them something for the first 30 days so you guys have some time to work.
Yeah, if we could get this for less money, I think that would be ideal, right? So, all right, Kathy, just say something.
So we've spoken to Patrick Malone several times, and this is his offer to write that space.
Mm-hmm.
We did not make that number up.
That's what not what we were told by Patrick Malone.
Okay. Well, I spoke with him Friday, and I heard from him today.
All right. I say we put brakes on this and then just.
Yeah.
We
In fact, why don't we send Hector and our negotiating committee to come negotiate directly with Cologne instead of having a third party?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we can expedite this, right? I mean, we're all here tonight, right? So let's can we talk after the meeting, right? All right, we'll talk after the meeting, and let's just do it, right? We have till the 30th. That's our hard deadline. We'll get it done before then. Right, and if we can get it for cheaper, let's see. We're going to need a special meeting to approve.
If you don't have another meeting on the 30th.
Okay, so can we pick a special meeting?
Or you can authorize. You could authorize tonight up to a certain amount.
Okay.
And then you plan to finalize it.
What's that number? Yeah.
I would recommend you do that.
800, not to exceed 800.
Okay, so if let's do that so that we're not holding you up. I could see your anxious faces. I totally understand, right? I mean, the library is very near and dear to the community, so, but we just need to do our due diligence as well, right, financially. And
so why don't we approve the agreement with the amendment of the cost of utilities will be approved up to blank. You tell me the amount for 30 days, and then at our next meeting, we can do the longer
term. Make a contribution of $800.
How much?
$800, especially.
For how long? For 30 days?
For 30 days.
Okay.
And then we can adjust if needed, right?
Fine. Up to $800 for the first 30 days.
So then, and then next steps from us, we'll meet as a committee.
Meeting, we can, by then you'll have the whole, and we can do the whole thing.
Okay. We'll meet as a committee.
So just negotiate directly with them.
Okay.
So why don't you take the, I know we don't have a resolution, but I can take it up tonight, and why don't we do the vote now?
I make a motion that we authorize not to exceed $800 for the library to move into Presbyterian Church for 30 days.
Methodist Church.
My apologies, the Methodist Church. Anything else I need to add to that?
They're covering moving, right, and all your...
Okay,
we're not changing anything
else. So I'll
second
it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We already had a discussion, so let's go ahead and take a roll call on that.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Francatelli?
Yes.
Councilman Longo?
Yes.
Councilwoman Mershinek?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good.
Okay. So you're moving?
No.
Well, yeah, I'm
moving. Okay.
Well, we now have temporary authorization that something will still happen.
Okay. I also have
just a slight concern that if we move
everything in and after 30 days it turns out that this is not something we can support, the library is now settled with
everything. We're going to resolve this before the 30th for the long term.
Yeah.
We can't vote on that until the next meeting. So we have voted tonight so that we know it's going to, let's assume we work it out. You can move in and we know at the next meeting we're going to authorize the longer term. We won't tell you to move if we haven't worked it out by the 30th.
Okay.
That would make no sense. Don't worry.
It's sometimes described government, but we're trying not to make that.
And just in the interim, we are still repairing the library, the existing
building,
with the asbestos and with, right, we are trying to remediate that building, right, whether it gets used for the library or a repurpose, right, a community building, a senior center, whatever, but it's a historic building, it's a nice looking building, right, and I think we need to respect it and give it its repairs that it needs, so thank you.
All right, so then if there is any other unscheduled new business later, we'll circle back. Okay, then moving on to the engineer's report. Well, let's start with the
until you leave the parking lot, permitting that they move until you park. The last report was the is the DDP, what we feel the results of the last testing. They apparently reviewed that, and now they are considering requiring additional testing. So we're still waiting on that answer from them based on the last results.
I'm sorry, can that one time?
So, so then the answer works in. I'm not sure where it's going with that. I don't know what to do, but that's the leads we've got from them.
And just to just kind of bring you up to speed on that, I'm not much more than sure earlier. This came up because we had received the Green Acres grant as they were doing their approaches. With the grant, they noticed that the apparently when the borough had closed the landfill, they did not close the circle. We did not file all the property that closed the landfill. Apparently, also filed.
Right, what is the formally closed?
Yeah, what's the formally closed?
What do you notice this?
Yeah, the premises.
We're back in the
long term.
Where is this located? This location? Where? Oh, Billion Legion.
Yeah, a little bit of years ago.
Yeah.
Was a shooting man still.
So that's where we are there with that. Briefly, I mean, we discussed the library a lot. Just to give you a quick update on the EPC, I talked to T&M today to get an update where everything is. They have installed a shop monitor that's been approved. I know Steve looked at some of the components they want to use and approve them. And basically everything's been ordered. And they're not going to be just waiting now. This is a supply chain issue.
Let me ask you, are we remediating before putting in those air conditioning units?
Yeah, so that's kind of
sorry.
We haven't had a chance to pause. So that will likely be the case. So it's kind of we'll have to go back and quickly go ahead and do work on, I guess,
So
just kind of, but at the very least, what I wanted to do is I want to keep that process moving and at least get the materials here, even if you can take it to be on site at a partial payment, which is common. At least we're here, then we're not waiting down the road for the prices to go up and everything else we require. So I think that would be the smart play right now on the extra point. Part of the Asian time frame, all that fun stuff. The train station, that's been delayed also by some supplies and some unforeseen, but they are moving towards substantial completion. Probably needs substantially complete in another month or so. Materials are coming in, they're putting them up. Windows and everything now are coming in. They're going to start doing the interior walls. And like I said, that'll be completed the fall, early winter, tomorrow, early winter. Moving on to the 22 road program. As you know, we awarded that back in April. DOT helped us up on that with the issue with grant. We finally got that moving in June. And then the contractor was delayed in other projects. It took forever to get in here. I did hear last week that they were coming in next week to start that project. And we call that project was West 2nd in Church of the Mountain. Main lane from the west side down to 175 feet south, where the developer stops, and then Park Place everybody into West 5. Today we had a subcommittee meeting involving school, police, contractor, borough to go over just how we'll work with the state and the school. I think we've got a pretty good game plan laid out on how we'll stage and the timing of drop-offs and pickups. And they're going to be off for 2 days in November for, I guess, the teachers' convention. So district will be closed. We can plan a lot of that concrete work out during that time. I think it's going to be a, this contract. We're forced to this contract. We've got the last two projects, and they move pretty quickly. So I think we'll be in good shape. I think the discussion. So going on to the 23 program, that resolution is on tonight for consideration to award to the contractor. Again, that's time sensitive with the VOD grant, which is another $450,000 plus or minus. We had 7 bidders, which is a good sign. We've been very fortunate the last couple of days. We only got one or two contractors again. Well, I don't call it hungry, but they're fast and looking for work, so that's a good thing. Bids are very competitive with only $15,000 between the top two. And it was a $1.4 million contract. So, that being said, Rebacks did win that one as well. They were the low bidder, and they were approved by the on Monday. So, on tonight, if you choose to work with them, the resolution to get down to state concurs, and then basically on the Western 22 project and the 23 project as well. So, we'll get that done in that one. And West Second from Dean and Mont, which is where our session. East Second from Mount Bless you.
Thank you.
Lamont from West Side, West Second. And then the Pearl Hall parking lot here in Northville Drive, Greenwich, on the north side of the road. I'm up in the straightaway. We've been having issues for years. So once again, move on that. Tell them I got a lot of this up. That'll also take care of West Second Street, actually all of Second Street, from T all the way to Civilian Street, basically that whole corridor we got. And that's a pretty good accomplishment. Moving on from there. That project, by the way, has almost $700,000 of grant money associated with it, through the community development and through the DOT. So probably half of the money is grant money, which is pretty good. We've been fortunate getting some pretty good awards late by the classroom of the high school campus. Full rehab project. We had a pre-construction meeting on the 19th. Contract was scheduled to mobilize over the next 2 weeks. Start getting his equipment in, start looking to do a demo. The construction permit for our tax is being prepared. I talked to Steve, given that stuff was going on. So, with him being in the house full time, then I think it'll help expedite some of the things that we're lacking before. So, we can keep projects moving. Formal groundbreaking ceremony scheduled for October 30th. 4:30, is that right? Yeah, okay. So, advise them that we're not being needed until they draft up an agreement that covers everything they install. Who's going to maintain it? Who's going to repair? Who's going to receive this? Easements, everything else, whatever you have to do in that project, they did. Because of the way they started off and not really telling us to do that. So it's in their best interest if they want to get paid for our share, and they better get that agreement so we can get it reviewed and move on.
What's the number they're requesting on that?
They haven't given me one yet.
Oh, they haven't?
No. I haven't seen final tonnage or what's happening on our side. Once they do, I'm going to do a value engineering on it and check actually what quantities of yield should have been, you know, if there's, you know, 500 tons of growth in the valley, but then we're going to talk more. And then last but not least, wasn't under my purview, but it was also a huge destruction of the town, but not to have the responsible gains. Not to fall with the detours and done, the trucks coming down off of the road, and that's, everything that was all over the place, you know, and, you know, it's good, but the road needs to be repaved regardless. So, Congress did the job, and that's just for the moment.
There's so much faster on that road now.
I was just going to say, it's the, Autobahn. It's the Autobahn.
So just the 22-23, the piggyback, that's what would be the timeline in the spring we get 23?
Well, it's, you know, I don't know what depends. We're talking about the road switcher. It was like last year was kind of warm all the way through. Maybe a couple cold snaps. But, you know, if we have opportunities, it doesn't mean that concrete work can't continue. Yes, 100 grain to install, they have 100 grain work to do. You get a couple of those 43 days before the morning, and then get it set up for, you know, before nightfall. You're in good shape. The asphalt plant will close, you know, so you won't be able to rip the road out of that point, but you just get a lot of your concrete work done. And then when everything opens back up in the spring, you know, you could rip the road out and repave it.
We have a 2024.
That will be discussed in my capital investment when we do the budget.
Where is the borrowing and loss?
Sadly, one of my requests. There's been a lot of discussion about that, and basically, it's the same thing that we're going up on North Meadow. It's infrastructure.
Right.
You know, you don't have enough infrastructure to deal with what's there. So you can pay it, repay it, but it's so flat and with no infrastructure, you can't pay the tolerance that are there. And you're less important than that. You know, once some of that place is durable. So basically, it would be a project to add infrastructure to some of the existing drainage to the south side of the farm. And the cross drains pretty well. So maybe we'll go with extra crown of the road. We get that drain that way. But then that'll take care of the farm and walls at the same time.
And then we have a question for a friend. Yeah, West Franklin, you know that.
Yeah, so West Franklin I had on a 3-year plan. Last year we got just about 500,000 from DOT for DOT, you know, for the DOT local aid grant. We've been very fortunate. I've been doing it in the house since I got here. We've been very successful getting decent awards. Last year was one of the highest we've ever gotten before. I think it's 402 was the number. So it's going to start from the east side at John to Windsor. And then this past year, John to Windsor. And then this past year, earlier this summer, I said, we should be finding out the results of that grant soon for phase two, which will go from Windsor to Livingston. And then next year, I'll submit for the third grant, which will be from Livingston to Boston. So basically, you're a year, it all sets a year from the grant application, but it'll be a 3-year plan. So if I start in 24, the third part of the grant will be done in 26, and then that will be done from in the end. All right, now in full curves, sidewalks, undergrading, and we're trying to undergrade and reconstruct roads to get the sub pumps and the roof leaders under the roadway. And try to limit some of the ice and the pine issues we've seen over the years. And then make it a cleaner look, and I think, like I said, to become a safety issue too. Make it that more off the road.
One other question about easements in town. What percentage are private easements, and what percentage are on public ground? Or we could get in and clean.
So there's a lot of. You know, it's almost like having a drainage well on your property between neighbors. You know, the neighbors, I guess, you know, split or whatever, the doors of the property line, right? So, like, I'll take a perfect example off the north side. Up on in the middle of the schoolhouse area, there's ditches and pipes that go through yards and come out in the middle of the street and goes across into another yard. And the ditches and everything, there's no easements on it. It's been understood for years, except for one area, that that gets cleaned by the property owners. And that's the way it's been. For that, it's the way it's written when there's creeks, you know, the Boxer Brook. You know, everybody's responsible for a little chunk, you know. So there wouldn't be like any borough involved in it at that point. Even though it's a waterway, it's a drainage swale, it's an open channel, where would it usually be?
So, like, the homeowners can clean them?
Yes.
And cut them?
Yes.
But half of them don't, aren't tilted or so that they run downhill. Like, that you would rely on the whole, each individual homeowner to pitch their...
Technically, it's on private property, right? Yeah. So those riparian rights to their own waterways.
Yeah, but if it's a part portion of municipal drainage, because eventually it comes out onto the road, don't we have some responsibility to oversee some of these?
So this is, I'm reading about a piece that happened years ago on Church Street. There's a culvert on Church Street that's over there. And it blew out almost to the foundation of 2 houses. There's a culvert living between 2 houses. County has ownership and jurisdiction of all bridges and culverts in town. If you look, they've all got a letter of designation in the 400s. And that's just a grid on a map on how they look them up and that's how they look. Right? So the county says we maintain this culvert from curb to curb. Everything outside of that is on the property. And there was a whole discussion about, you know, the property owner can't afford this, you know, I mean, it was repaired for something like $600,000, and I believe
the borough gave them the mortgage and then they had to pay it off.
Right.
That was the solution.
Right, because it was
they're not really that happy about it, but it's
right.
The only solution that we could come up
with. Exactly. So, same thing with, you know, St. Louis Club, you know, drainage goes into the waterways, Roswell, in behind Frank, right? So, it's because the drainage, every drainage runs downhill no matter where you are. And just because of that, it doesn't mean that the borough would have responsibility in that book. If you've got everybody, you know, the person back there, fish to it, I mean, it's a natural breeding feature. Back to the north side again, without any easement for whether it be an access easement or a drainage easement or anything along those lines, the borough would have one of the other engineers doing it. Now, moving ahead, that was the one in the years ago. Moving ahead to 2012, when we put the grading cube from the south of Pantry over to Chestnut, there was a drainage line that runs through the south of Pantry Circle and goes into Chestnut Street. Behind your head, councilman's name, because he was a councilman here for a while.
Al Wagner?
Who?
Wagner?
No, not Howard. No.
Sorry, Tom, hey, well,
yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, it was that part of the CEO that got here. But we've got an easement through for that whole pipe. So we could physically access that pipe when we need to. We've had it several times to clean. But that is something that we can do. He's old. The only thing about on Meadow is because that one drainage ditch to back yard and go to the easement wall and mosquitoes. But that's pretty much.
So it becomes a code enforcement.
Which, yeah, it does.
Okay. Which I think we are all working together already to figure out this problem with code enforcement. You're going to be putting together a plan for us.
Well, code enforcement, like to clean out garbage. But you're going to get code enforcement if over 40 years silt has accumulated there from.
No, the pipe themselves, we can get a pipe. And up on the north side, I took about 30 yards out of pipes that run there. I mean, you've got a combination of pipes on the things. You know, the pipe is infrastructure. You know, so you know, we can clean that. I couldn't go and replace it without any even temporary easement. But I can probably get to that pipe from the street, say.
So I was more concerned about the open ditches, you know, that the water doesn't flow.
Right. But keep in mind that that's also a bigger issue if you want to start right now. And then become a broader problem if you get to that point. And it may at that time become more of a borrower thing potentially. But hopefully it never gets to that point.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
What's
all right? Moving on. All right, other committee reports. Let's start off with the Chair of Finance and other committees, Councilor Longo.
All right, from the Finance Office. The Finance Department is in the process of working on the 2024 budget. The requests have all been received from the departments and are currently received in the Finance Department and are being put into the software. Once they've been completed, the hearings will be scheduled for the various departments. In addition, they're working on the year-end approach to the 2023 account analysis. And we're coming up with transfer resolutions during our December meeting. The tax office is in full swing and preparing for the last quarter of the tax and refuse collection and the tax sale. Tax sale list has been created and all impacted property owners were notified. We are making final notifications for any pilot entities that still have the final payment that is due on 11/1/2023. Most of the 2023 pilot payments have been already received. The bond ordinance for the purchase of the security system for the municipal building is on tonight's meeting agenda, and this ordinance is fully funded. And that's the finance. Recreation, I think we Dale covered the groundbreaking for the pool complex. The CID held their business meeting last week, and not only their business meeting, but they also did a business networking session.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just let Councilman Gomez kind of fill us in on that one.
It was very nice open meeting to all the vendors, downtown property owners. We had several store owners show up and participate in the activity afterwards. And that data will be collected, and from there we'll take some actionable steps towards recruitment, requests from the Ministry of Council about infrastructure projects, benches, garbage cans, whatever, you know, based on the feedback that we received from store owners and property owners. Probably have another one first quarter in 2024. We have full steps. In full swing there, we have the maintenance guy has been doing an excellent job, I think, down there, and it looks clean, and thank you to DPW for stepping in every so often there. We were able to get this guy a couple extra tools, and stuff like that. From you guys, I think you guys did go into the park and get rid of those larger
ones. We did. I think there might be some more we got to do. We have to go back and try to find the island behind the buildings and take some more of that stuff out, too.
Okay. And then just, I guess I should, this is more of a comment to code enforcement. If you can just get your team out there behind in the commuter lot, there are quite a few borough ordinances that are not being followed, enclosures of garbage cans. It's pretty messy back there.
That's all been said. Steve, I have sent him a note about that with pictures, so yeah, we can certainly follow up. I'm sure I CC Vinny on that. Yeah, the enclosures, the weeds, there's
and
like drums, maybe,
and then
restaurants
below. I would just do Sausage Alley also. hospitality is real. It's a realness.
Sausage Alley, we did take a swipe at. We did go through, but there's a very neat stone wall, actually, that if that was exposed, you know, I think there's like poison ivy growing over it, maybe. We were going to talk about it, but not only... Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm talking about the next spot between Maiden and Mountain Ave. Is that still supposed to go? I agree with you. There's a great opportunity for that area to clean it up and beautification.
You know what there is? There's potholes.
Yes.
Right? So I don't know. I know we don't have like...
We could even do the DPW the fill. I think next year we're going to be doing the whole park out there.
What was the issue with the other part of Sausage Out? It's messy.
Yeah.
So that's code.
Closures I think there's encroachment onto the public right away. Vehicles being parked back there. So there's probably a litany of items if you guys look back there. DPW, I think, does a great job. And there is one little thing that if I could ask for the downtown... Right where, right in the center, near the gazebos.
Yeah.
There's a little wall that comes out. It needs a little bit of paint.
We got it. We're already on it. Okay, yep. So we picked a color.
So it'll change to white. That's on there.
We're not doing white. We're not doing red. We're not doing black.
What color are you doing?
It's a natural kind of color. I brought an artist down there too to look at it.
Real quick, so I want to do that. We're starting getting the tree up already. Early this year, so that's going to be done at the same time.
So the tree lighting this year will be done on November 25th, which is the Saturday. It's a small business Saturday also, so we figure usually we do it on the following weekend, which Somerville does their tree lighting and parade. So there's always that conflict. So we're moving it back one day and try to tie it into small business Saturday and see if we can get people down here during that day for shopping and eating and the rest of it. So we did have the fall festival this weekend. I thought it turned out great. Beautiful day for it. There was tons of kids and families out there. I think we counted somewhere in the neighborhood of about 500 people that attended between 12 and 4 o'clock. So, great event. We look forward to doing that again in the spring. We just purchased an additional 20 planters for the downtown. So, those will be deployed in early spring.
And in the West End?
Yeah, absolutely. We're trying to put them everywhere. So, especially the West End, I'm trying to clean that up, which mostly in contact with the county to see how we can soften that area up a little bit. Wind development and whatever else comes down there, and we take advantage of it. Other than that, I think we are, I think that's about it. There's plenty of other stuff coming up.
That's why,
That was great, Don. Thanks.
Although I don't know where it'd be appropriate to ask this question, so I'm going to ask it here. I was approached about putting up some sort of something memorializing chiches, dance chiches. A
resolution.
You could do a proclamation.
Where they can actually put something like a street band,
it's
an inscription. And
tell you what,
I think we mainly offer a pet.
I'll tie that into the next arts committee. And there's money in the arts budget, so maybe they can do something cool with it, you know, tie everything
Because, marking a place in history, and then when they mentioned it, and I wasn't actually asked about it, it kind of made me wonder about even something for, like, Louis Upshaw.
Mm-hmm.
These are any long-term resident, I think Stan's chiches.
Okay.
So I told them I did promise I'd bring it up. I wasn't sure where to, and it just...
I'll see. We're trying to...
Now I can do concerts there.
Too bad they took the sign. Someone took the sign. Because that's an iconic kind of, you know, logo in Wright's Danchich's. But I think the owners may have taken a sign.
Yeah, we'll see. It could just be like a plaque or some sort of dedication. All right, going in order, Chair of Public Works, Buildings, Grounds, and Utilities, Councilwoman Berkovich.
Okay, so DPW, we did the bulk pickup, right? We're still in the process of that. We're in the fourth week. This week, next week will be the fifth week and the final week. So this week, right northwest side of town. Next week is northeast side of town. I hear that it's been going well, right? We don't have anyone abusing the policy. Some people may have missed it, but you only get one shot at this, right? They come down once, and if you miss it, then save your stuff for next
bulk.
Yeah.
You know, after you do this for a couple of years, like you've been, obviously it's been much better since the first year.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get the picture of, you know, being bigger, being interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think makes you even better.
Mm-hmm. The project has done its job. Right? The whole point of doing the bulk pickup was because at times, back in the day, I'm talking about 8 years, 9 years ago, when you started this, it was. There was garbage, large piles of garbage in front of all the houses all the time. It was just a common occurrence. I don't think we ever see that, of course, ever now.
No, I mean, you actually see that. I'm really proud of that. I've seen it happen in the back of the
house. Yeah, so it's doing its job, and I see the houses that, you know, year one, year two, year three put stuff, they have nothing putting out now. So, it's probably driving down the cost too, right?
Mm-hmm. And we're in the process of hiring an assistant for Dale, an account assistant. So that's part-time. That's on the agenda this evening. So hopefully that will help you, and we'll get caught up on some of the longer-term projects. And we heard about some of that tonight, right? The street sweeping, the road programs, you know, getting something online so the public knows what streets are coming up, what's been done, what grants have been available. I think you're doing an excellent job retaining grants, so the public should hear about that too, but also know when their roads will be done, and whatever information we can give them would help them. We are going to be cleaning New Jersey Transit lot, going in there, tightening that up. Hopefully, maybe we could look at the pocket park as well and just take a look at that, make sure that's all cleaned and all. Yes, we did talk about painting that knee wall, right? And I could share the colors with you, too. That's on schedule. The trees, also the dead trees downtown and the stumps, the spaces have been prepared. And that leads me into the Shade Tree Commission, right, to the planting of the trees that were either dead or not there, you know. So hopefully that'll fill in nicely, you know, this fall and look complete. Sid and the group down there, you know, we can look at alternatives for the around the trees, right, instead of the 2x4s. And I know I have pictures of different towns I've been to in different states of what's been done, and maybe just share ideas and all about how to enclose, the tree space. And I know going forward, you know, we're looking at, you know, the Shade Tree Commission would like larger tree spaces, right? They would like larger plantings around the trees, but that's something, you know, down the road.
Mm-hmm. See what we can do, or
yeah. And I know the Shade Tree, you know, we should probably come in and present, you know, about, you know, some ideas of how to beautify with more green down there, and also help with water runoff and that sort of thing. They're working on we're working on a flyer too for the Shade Tree. I missed the meeting. I was out of town last week, so I did miss it, but I'll catch up on any other new things. And then, as far as the library, Well, we had that tonight. We'll follow up with that. Hector, let's talk after the meeting, the negotiating committee, and get that going. Talk to the pastor and see if we can't make that happen. And, yeah, we'll continue with the remediation and the repairs there. And hopefully they'll be successful in the Methodist Church. So.
All right.
That's all I think I have.
To Chair of Public Safety, Police and Fire, and other committees, Council of Governors.
All right. Well, let me first start by recognizing one of our police officers. It was me to start with something positive. Zola was, I guess, had stopped to help a pedestrian that a vehicle that had broken down. Jumped into action, helped him out, figured out it was a battery that was dead, and then he'll grab him taking the resident to AutoZone, picked up a new battery, helped him install it, and off they went. So I want to commend him. I think he does an excellent job. I've seen him in passing multiple times dealing with residents, and I think he does an excellent job across the board with community police too. So I'll send him my kudos there. Streetwise is going to be coming in also to help with some educational situation.
Streetwise Educational was ended 2 weeks ago working in the second of enforcement. Okay. Someone has been given out to the field of pedestrians and crossroads.
Perfect. Thank you. Is there an opportunity? Is there? I know there was a stop the pedestrian signs that was put in the middle of the road.
I know Richmond County has some objections to technically they're...
Let me make a phone call tomorrow.
Yeah. Find out if we have purchased them, whether they'll...
Yeah, there's multiple spots, of, at least along the downtown, that I've noticed that don't look like crosswalks, but they are crosswalks, and nobody stops for pedestrians for whatever reason. So... Yeah, whatever we can do to make it safer down there would be great. Moving on, fire had its swift water rescue training last week, and they continue to train. They are now putting together their budget, which are all due November 1st, so they will have that to us. Any capital improvements and equipment that they require. EMS, we are on target to hit our residents served and financial goals. We are between 70 and 100 calls that we are serving out per month, which should help to self-fund the EMS service, and that would be fantastic. We have extended service now to Middlesex Township, also our borough, and that also is going well. Those calls also are full insurance bill, so that helps draw a bell, but we are currently also interviewing new EMTs. I think today there was a few, and we are looking to get to that 18 to 24 employees so that we can serve the borough 24/7. Currently, we are Monday to Friday, 6 to 6, but we shift their days and they'll run on Saturday also, and I saw them out there on Sunday. So it looks as shifts are filling up, they're adding additional shifts to the borough. Great stuff. As reported last month, we have gone from a 45-minute plus response time to just about a 2-minute response time in the borough of Boundbrook from the time call for an ambulance. So that's a win right there. Parking, no meeting was held. Planning board, there is no meeting due to no scheduled agenda for this week. We know scheduled hearings, and cultural arts is planning the 2024 project. And now, if you have any ideas that you'd like to see, we are taking ideas. And that's all I have.
Do you have any questions?
I'd just like to commend two of our officers for the fine arrest of a burglary suspect last week, I believe, and including one of them. Who was armed or had a weapon. Nice job by the officers. Chief, if you can convey that.
Absolutely.
You want to follow up with the officers?
That was
Officer Table was the primary officer to work on, and I believe it was Officer Rodriguez.
Great.
That was pretty crazy with hollow point bullets, right? You know, hollow point bullets.
Yes.
Right? You don't often see. Maybe you do. I don't know. Or we don't often hear about it.
Only for police officers.
Yeah. Yeah. Hollow point. Yeah.
Okay. On to Chair of Personnel Administration and Ordinances, Councilman Lopez.
Yes. So on the Personnel Administration and Ordinances, we are going to hear about. Mentioned before, resolutions to hire Ms. Evancho as a part-time accountant to work with Mr. Here. We're also going to have a resolution for the hiring of Ms. Ashley Pelais as a deputy borough clerk starting on October 30th. Like Councilman Gomez said, we're still looking for EMTs for the emergency service to have 7 days a week. We have five ordinances for the first reading today, one for final reading. The administration part on the building, we Saturday, we had a community resource fair organized by the library. EMT department was there, and we had a big participation from residents and several agencies offering assistance and guidance to residents in different areas. That was on Saturday here in the building because it was raining outside and the library has no place, so we have to do it here, right? So, on the Historic Preservation Commission, they are finally getting all the documents ready for the Mountain Avenue number 16 and 18 buildings to apply for them to be declared historical landmarks. Also, they started gathering information for the process of St. Joseph's Church, the old building and the school. So they are gathering information, going to the counties, registered, and finding deeds and all of this that is really old to have everything ready for that process. It's a slow process, so it's taking its time, you know, as you know. For the Board of Education, they met on October 18. Several things went on. They were they presented the results for the New Jersey graduation proficiency assessment for 11th grade in language and arts and math, also for the New Jersey student learning assessment for 3 to 9th grade. They also talk about committing media reports, their personnel resolutions, professional development funds, education resolutions like, you know, assemblies and field trips and blood drives and all of these things. So it was a very long, interesting meeting. And they also talk about the district improvement plan for the next school year. They're starting to work on that already. Yeah, so that's what we have.
Now, for personnel, your chair of the committee, is that the committee meet? We'll get together for these things?
They keep me posted of, they interview the people, and they keep me posted of, you know, what they think and, the best candidates, just in the case of the deputy clerk, for example, they have several candidates. One of them said yes and then left, right? Yeah. So so it's coming down to pick the best for what you have. So this person, you know, is the one that met the qualifications from what we have, which
okay.
is not a lot.
So, I mean, so
yes, so
as a committee, you're not, you're just notifying what's happening.
Yes,
not,
yes. Not, yeah, there's not a lot of hirings all the time anyway, so yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, going forward, if the resumes could be, you know, available to the other committee members on the personnel, just because we're being asked, I'm being, right, asked to vote tonight. I don't know the people at all. I don't know their qualifications, the job description or anything, so.
Yeah, I know they are available, but they are qualified to do that. So yeah, it's not like we're like nitpicking on everything. That's why we have Hector and Justin. You know, but yeah, I mean, I don't want to, I'm not qualified to decide our resumes, but, you know, read them and see if I think it's fine. Mm-hmm. But that's why we have them here, right? So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to get into your fields.
No. I don't want to. Let's not make forward.
Yeah.
All right. Chair of Economic Development, Councilman Francis Kelly.
We are expecting an update on the advanced litigation. I know I said that at the last meeting, but we're expecting it the next meeting. So we're waiting for that. And as reported on my last report, the project known as Townage Commons is in negotiation to be sold. We met with them this week to provide background information on the advanced litigation. And they're doing their due diligence, I guess, before they buy the project. They're waiting to see what happens. As reported last meeting, the project at the former Rio nightclub submitted a pilot application to the borough. The committee reviewed our consultant's analysis, and we sent back to the developer the committee's comments. We're waiting for an updated appraisal on the former bank building on East Main Street. An appraisal was conducted in early 2022 on the property. An updated appraisal is needed so the borough can send an official letter to the owner. And hopefully we'll resurrect that eyesore soon. The Hamilton Street Plaza redesign was submitted to the State Historical Preservation Office for its approval. SHPO has until 2026 to respond to the updated design. Meridia continues to work with the Department of Environmental Protection regarding the permitting issues that are required to be resolved for all the projects. They have submitted a hardship request to the DEP request. The DEP is reviewing the submitted materials. Palisades Urban Development provided comments from the draft redevelopment agreement. The committee reviewed the comments and they sent them back to them. And that's my report. And I don't have anything on the seniors. I don't know if you attend.
Yeah, I could talk real briefly. But did Palisades, are they're looking to sell?
Well, I don't know if they're looking to sell, but I don't know if I should report this, but they're actually owe money on their taxes. I don't want to go into too much detail with this. But,
no, heard, that their taxes, right, they have some tax issues and that they were looking to sell.
We don't know that. Don't think I should report anything more on this.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just... These are the rumors on the street.
Right now they're talking about, they're complaining about the construction schedule, but they have bigger problems than that.
Yeah, they have a dump that's been on Drake Street for over 2 years. Right. We got big problems with them in the neighborhood. But anyway, the seniors, so the council candidates came and spoke at the seniors meeting. And that was great. So Sean was there, and Councilman Gomez, and Councilman Longo, and Mayor Morris was there. The other two candidates had commitments and could not make it, but thank you for coming. And we're looking at the Christmas party, when that's going to happen. And I don't know. We're still going to be at the Presbyterian Church, I believe, right? They received their check, so, yeah, everything's fine with the seniors. It was a nice group.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
They had fun.
And we had pumpkin pie.
I didn't know.
But,
All right, on to Chair of Zoning, Construction, and Code Enforcement, Councilman Petty.
My report for September, finance, revenue, year-to-date, through September was $920,141. Zoning and construction, 18 zoning permits and 31 construction permits were issued in the month of September. Year to date, we have reviewed 114 zoning applications and issued 293 building permits. 110 UCC building inspections were conducted in the month and 1,067 inspections year-to-date. Housing and property maintenance. 152 housing and property maintenance inspections were conducted, resulting in 17 notices of violations and 20 summons were issued in the month. Fire prevention, 19 re-rent and resale inspections, 56 fire inspections, and 18 complete inspections were conducted in the month. Year to date, there has been 166 resale and re-rent inspections, 521 fire inspections, and 91 complete inspections. Health. The County Health Office conducted 5 retail food inspections in September and 46 year to date. That's it for my report. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Moving on to the first reading of ordinances. We're going to start with Ordinance 2023-47, an ordinance repealing and replacing in its entirety Chapter 14, Building and Construction, Section 14-8, construction projects approved by land use boards of the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Bound Brook. We have a motion to move to pass this on first reading.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Omer?
Yes.
Council Perry?
Yes.
Council Perry Capelli?
He left the room.
Council Longo?
Yes.
Council Van Gertrude?
Yes.
Council Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. Again, these are just to accept the first reading, no discussion. Ordinance 2023-48, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 7, Traffic, Section 7-12, parking time limited on certain streets of the revised ordinances of the Borough Conference designated a portion of Mountain Avenue as a 10-minute parking zone. We have a motion.
Motion, Tony.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Santorelli?
Yes.
Councilman Wardo?
Yes.
Councilman Richardson?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. Ordinance 2023-49, I was advised that this is not a necessary ordinance. It is already in place, already in the ordinances as is. We're just going to remove that from the agenda. So, I'm going to ask because it's already.
So, 049 is removed?
Correct. All right. Ordinance 2023-50, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 7, Traffic, Section 7-17, residential permit parking of the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Bower to designate the entire length of each street as resident parking. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman Petty?
Abstain.
Councilman Francisco?
Yes.
Councilman Mondo?
Yes.
Councilman Andrew?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. Ordinance 2023-51. An ordinance authorizing a general improvement for the purchase and acquisition of security cameras, monitoring, and access control system for the Borough of Bound Brook and appropriating $99,063.96, therefore, from the capital fund balance of said borough. Do we have a motion to pass?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Councilman
Petty? Abstain.
Councilman Petty?
Yes.
Councilman
Mondo?
Yes.
Councilman
Petty?
Yes.
Councilman Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. Now, this is a final reading in consideration, a second reading for Ordinance 2023-45. An ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 29, Solid Waste Management, Section 29-1.2, including futures and charges of the revised general ordinances of the Borough of Bound, establishing a procedure to obtain additional garbage totes. Do I have a motion to open the public comment?
Motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Would anybody, members of the public, like to get up and speak specifically on Ordinance 2023-45? Hearing none, do I have a motion to close public comment?
Motion.
Do I have a second? Do I have a motion to pass?
Motion.
Do I have a second to pass?
Second.
Discussion amongst council.
Just a little bit of detail. What's the size, when, how?
So this is
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is basically putting a procedure in place for residents who would like an additional can.
An additional can, so not a smaller can.
No. Okay. This is for an additional can, not for multi. The two-family homes and things like that. This is we have more garbage than what can fit into one can.
Yeah. Just to correct something that I said. This is for these are the two downfalls. This is for anyone for any eligible.
Oh, correct, correct. Who is currently has one can and would like a second can.
This is,
and it's a one time, for one cost for anybody who wants to submit it. If anybody doesn't want to read it, I did read it. It's a one time charge of $75 to have it, if not your can. It's a one time charge to have it delivered, and then annually it's another $150 a year in addition to the $280 for the first.
Yeah. So every year they'd be paying
the for the second can. And in an effort to avoid refunds, you can sign up at any point during the year, we'll prorate charge you for that year, but you can't cancel until the following, I believe, November 1st.
And we are, I would assume that our code enforcement, other than if they're single families, are getting in there to inspect these dwellings, right?
Yeah, this is a constant thing to bring up. That is an ongoing, that's an ongoing process. The team gets together on a regular basis. Basically, the other team's kind of boots on the ground and releasing something that might, looks maybe a little bit like something called Peter. Kicks it back over to code enforcement, and fast left to we all kind of get together and then, eventually,
great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. What was that?
Motion to approve.
Motion to pass. We have a motion to pass. That was our discussion. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Excellent. All right, on to the resolutions. The resolutions listed below were submitted to the governing body for review and will be adopted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired, the resolution may be removed by council action. Would anybody like any of these resolutions removed for separate discussion?
299 and 301.
299 and 301. Any others? Quick question. The hosing. Wasn't that part of something we already approved? Present
the right. So this is what's known as a chapter 159, which allows us to add revenue to the budget. After the budget's approved.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Any other resolutions? All right, let's start with 2023-299, resolution approving the hire of Joanna Boucho as part-time account clerk to the Department of Public Works. Do we have discussion? Or questions on that one?
No, I just want to abstain from the two of those.
Oh, you know what you can do in the future?
I'm sorry.
No.
Yeah.
You can vote on them together and have your, if that's the reason, if you're abstaining, just have the clerk note that you abstain on those two.
Oh, because that's how you do all the... All the ones that are...
Yeah, we've been doing it.
You can. I'm not saying you can't do it.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like the way that is.
Why?
And just for the record. Just for the record, the abstention is due to.
It's.
We're not.
I can ask. She can answer or choose not to answer.
No. I am part of the personnel committee, and I haven't been involved in this process to review any sort of resume, so I don't feel qualified to say that they are qualified for the position. That's basically it. I mean, I don't want to micromanage any of the committees. I mean, I think we're all kind of flexible with emails and stuff and whatever, so not sure how many people were interviewed or whatever. That's all. That's what I'm...
And I'm assuming the same reason, the same thing for 301?
Yeah, same for 301. That's it. Yeah.
Councilwoman Berkovich abstained from 299 and 301. So now, other than that, we have a motion to pass the remaining, resolution 2023-296 through 2023-301. We have a motion to pass.
Motion.
So a second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, any unfinished business?
Wait, did we vote on those two or no?
Okay.
Yeah.
Just with a footnote.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, no other new business or unfinished business? Okay, on to the approval of vouchers. 2023
I'm looking to make for council approval for for a resolution that will authorize adding a building to a residence at 44 West Union Ave, block 464, lot 5. Basically, this is one of the things that I think you heard me talk about earlier, that this entire garbage program has done, and really what's happening is we are finding that we're receiving garbage that shouldn't be, or a place that should be, that has been. In this case, they were receiving garbage services, but not getting billed for it. So we need a resolution, so tax collector.
So let me ask you, they're receiving service, but not paying for it. For a specific reason, or?
This one's actually unique. Let me go back and say, previously to bring trash in house, and I said, I don't really care.
Sure.
Yeah, right. This one's actually a little unique in that, as you may know, all of those totes have serial numbers, and Dale has gone through great lengths, and his team have gone through great lengths to ensure that everyone who receives a tote is in his result catalog. For whatever reason, these folks receive totes, does not have any record of giving it to them, so we're not exactly sure why. In the long run, what's going to happen here is we have this particular unit as a as an excuse, commercial residential for the workers. You can see the poster image with the, I guess it's sort of home office there.
Okay.
We know that we've already done our inspection. We're really just waiting on the property owner to finish his paperwork, so to completely turn it over to the residential.
So this is not a residential right now?
No, it's not a residential right now, but it's done.
Can we approve something like that? If it's not legit?
I mean, it's not legit.
It's
going to be arrested. We have done the inspection on it. We're just waiting for the property owner to finish the paperwork.
Okay. It's physically residential, but on paper still.
Yeah, he's the member of the
So what are we doing with the resolution to comment then?
Allows my tax assessor to vote.
Okay.
Wait, this is just for billing, not for garbage, right?
This is for billing garbage.
They have garbage in, and they didn't.
They haven't been charged, and they should be charged.
Right.
How many years have they been charged?
As you know, the bills are due on November 1st, so already, per law, I have to give it to them 25 days prior. Right, so I'm already behind. On this, and of course, we want to be able to collect this in our year 2023. Once 2023 is over, I can't go back.
Correct.
All right, good motion.
Motion.
And a second.
Second.
Do we have to roll call this?
Okay. We should.
Yeah.
Roll call.
Yes.
Council President Gomez?
Yes.
Ready? I'm going to abstain. I need more information.
Councilman Andreas Kelly?
Yes.
Councilman
Longo?
Yes.
Councilman
Hirschman?
Yes.
Councilman
Lopez?
Yes.
Very good. You have that. Yes. Other vouchers, 2023-302. Resolution approving vouchers in the amount of $326,095.08.
Motion.
I have a question. Wait.
Second. Okay, good. So that we have a question. Okay.
Yeah, there's one voucher for elections training for Agatha Perez. Now, Agatha is not a borough employee any longer, so I'm just wondering what
she took this training before. She took this class before.
Oh, so this is past happening. Okay. So do we need to train someone else then? Well, I don't know. It doesn't matter. So, okay. Good point. So, all right. So it's already done.
Also, quick question. What's the $3,500 drill?
That was a cordial that I purchased for all the time that I had that, but
that's fine.
I got it here from the sidewalk.
All right, so let's see if you can look. Okay.
Yeah, the Home
Depot. Roll call.
Wait. The Home Depot looked like a Christmas shopping list, the Home Depot bill. Okay. I know, but it was, I know, it's all stuff you needed. I know.
That's fine. No, you need okay, roll call.
Yes.
Wait, will we go now again?
Still look out
and
wait.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I think you're on to me, yes.
Yes.
Very good. Open to the public comment. Anybody like to come up?
Sure.
Remember there's a playoff game? There's a playoff game on right now?
I know. Trust me, I know. Paul Strum, 135 West Maple Avenue. Right, so a couple things. One, I know all you guys, you know, I appreciate everything that you guys do and the time that you put in for everything. So if it sounds like I'm bashing, I'm really not. Okay, but I just need to say what I need to say. So, I heard you talk about, some property on Talmadge Avenue and, it's already approved and, again, another apartment, right? It's like, we're all in here paying taxes. Clearly we all love the town. We live here, right? Did we ever think about maybe instead of putting up apartments, make them condos, put a little skin in the game for the people that are coming here? Because these pilot programs, they don't get, on all these buildings, all the money that they pay into taxes in the pilot programs, that really is not the bulk of the education money, okay, for going to the school. I don't know how much money goes to the roads, how much money going to the police department, or anything like that.
It all goes in the general budget.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, but when I pay taxes, X number of my dollar of taxes goes towards education, right? I don't even know. You know this, right? You know this, right? As well as I do. I'm paying the school taxes. I don't even send my kid to school here. Like, my kid goes to private school. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just wondering, has there ever been any consideration to doing this?
Well, we would never turn down condominiums. I mean, we don't turn them down.
No, but I'm saying, I understand what you're saying, but maybe suggest, like, to somebody who wants to put a building up, okay, why don't we make these condos and maybe try and sell them?
I think, looking at dollars and cents, if you put up on that space 10 condominiums, it's going to generate a lot less revenue than if you put 200 apartments. And that's
how big are these apartments size wise?
They vary from studio to two bedroom, but they're mainly one bedroom is going to be average.
Square footage.
800 to 1200 in that range.
I mean, because a lot of the condos, like in Society Hill or Spring Ridge or other ones like that, they're 1200 square feet. And they're,
They're not five stories.
No. I get what you're saying.
And for the most part, everything's downtown. So you would never put a condos downtown.
Yeah, but you got that eyesore in Bosler.
And that would be for taxes. So that's actually the right exactly.
No, but I'm saying it's taken away from other people's
property. So hold on. We have a lot of conversations going on, and some of this, and I know you guys are in real estate and mortgages, so this is an easy mathematical, right? The property was being sold for $150, was purchased for $124, right? So they're right in the range that they're selling for the same amount that they bought. They're almost making nothing. You buy a property, and you have condos, you're going to need setbacks, you're going to need all of those. So you get maybe four of those, right? If you buy the property for it, let's call it 1.5, then plus double, you're at $2 million, right? Before you build anything.
Sure.
Add another million and a half, how many condos can you possibly get? And you're talking about break even for somebody that's going
to
build
something. Well, actually, just to be clear, I'm not necessarily advocating for more condos. I'm just saying, let's stop all these apartments. Like, because I think it's getting out of hand. Because you're taking a town that, you have a lot of people who own. And now you're putting all these renters in. I'm not for it. But
again, that's the first part.
And also keep in mind that the Bosler Avenue is not a redevelopment zone. That's somebody that just did it on their own. They're paying full taxes. Council had nothing to do with it.
Listen, I don't accuse her. I want to get off my chest.
Yeah.
Second thing, you took all the spots away in the farmer zones. Yeah, they did. They're all pay spots now.
Those were old spaces.
No, they weren't.
They were. So
they were. Maybe it wasn't. Of course, there was never signs.
If I may.
Sure.
There was an agreement originally for the exact same parking spaces they have right now. What they did is they took the liberty and took additional parking spots and put up signs that they were theirs. When we went back to the we read the exact same minutes from the meeting. And they got the exact same deal they had before. So they gave back spots that weren't theirs that they didn't pay for it over 10 years. And that's what really transpired.
Okay. I mean, again, but it just seemed like there were no signs up, and then all of a sudden you pull in there all one day, and all of a sudden there's nothing.
Of course.
You have your department.
Right. And that's exactly what happened, right? At one point, from one day to another, even though this process didn't go from one day to another, okay, signs definitely changed, and I mean, that's exactly how it's happening, right?
And then my third part, she left, but anyways, my friend, she was going to speak, but she lives at 121 Cherry, and her house backs up to the Board of Education over there, that building.
Small school property.
Anyway, she says it's a wreck back there. She's tried to contact them to come clean it up, and they don't. So, that's not me.
The park area?
No, her. And her, like, what did she say?
She got up to the park area of smaller schools, the ball field and the She's one of the last pieces of the property that backs up to Ontario. It's not being maintained.
And she went to the school board?
She went to the school board. She left a voice note from the school board also. There was no response from the school board. Her neighbors immediately to her left happen to be teachers in town. The property was maintained up to her neighbor's property. And I know that property are cut up. It's an absolute mess in the back there. So she just wanted to...
Is it just a perfect road or is it like barbers?
Growing trees that have fallen down and are not being removed and stuff like that. So she just wanted to express her concern about what that took to the property.
Okay. And with that, let's enjoy the rest of the day.
Unless anybody has any follow-up questions. Last meeting, I discussed 2nd Street in front of the school, and our esteemed public works director didn't mention it before. There's 2nd Street. We had a meeting this morning with the school.
Yeah.
We're all coordinated. So we're all coordinated. We have the school district in, and we have some plans for it.
Very good. We have a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We have a second to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Adjourn.